I'm Hannah Nobita. Just call me Hannah.
And how did you get started in Podfic fandom?
Well, it's really embarrassing. I've been discussing it with you guys, and we think it's probably Slash Report, but there's all these really, really awesome, like, fandom-related podcasts that I've been listening to. There's Slash Report, and there's Pod Ramble, and Fandom 101, and Fandom Spotting, and I love them all, and they're great. And sometimes I just confuse which ones have talked about which. So it was probably Slash Report that did the episode on Podfic. And I thought it sounded fascinating when I heard it. Oh, it was probably earlier this summer or this spring, and started downloading and listening to Podfic. And then just a couple weeks ago, over the weekend, I had some free time and was reading a cute fic and said, hey, why don't I try to record this? So I did. And here I am.
Yay!
Yay!
So, Potica, how did you get in?
So I first discovered Podfic in either like very late 2005, early 2006, and I kind of just listened to one while I was sitting on my bed, and I was like, that was kind of cool, but probably not my thing because, I was just sitting there listening, doing nothing else. And kind of forgot about it until a year later, at the end of 2006, I was doing a data entry job and I got linked to SGA Podfic, and I was in Stargate Atlantis at that time. So I went and downloaded a bunch of them. I'm like, this is amazing. It's like I'm getting paid to read fanfic all day. I promptly was like, well, there's not that much of it out there. I should make some. And because I have a lot of time that I would like to listen to Podfic, I should clearly choose a really long story. And I chose something that was like over 60K. And I got five, I think I recorded the entire thing, and I got like 5 hours of it edited even. And I probably only had like, an hour, half an hour left to do when I gave up. And
Oh.
I've since lost those files, so it
Oh
is forever
no.
gone.
Oh.
I was only doing like the data entry as a job while I was in school, so it was like full time during the winter and then just like really odd shifts the rest of the time. And it wasn't until the summer that I like it really started to become super important to me again because I was doing it full time. And by that point, there was more Podfic out there. And it wasn't quite enough that I could listen all the time like I wanted, but there's a lot more SGA Podfic and I could fill a lot of my time. So I just kind of lurked in SGA Podfic fandom for a while. And it wasn't until the first Amplificathon in 2008 that I made my first Podfic. And I made two. One was Numbers and one was Queer's Folk. And I didn't make anything again until 2009 when they had the first Podbang. And that was just such a great experience. I did two. They had to be at least 20K, so at least 2 hour long Podfics. One was like 3.5 hours, and I think one was like 2.5 hours for that. And that just kind of like opened the floodgates for me. And there's some great meta that happened right after Podbang that it kind of got me and I thinking. And I started my first Podfic challenge, and I really haven't come back from that. I just run so many things now. And so, yeah, I never looked back and have not gone back to lurking, oddly enough. Because everyone's so nice and there's no need to lurk. Come be friends with us.
So what are the happening spots in Podfic fandom? Twitter.
Beth, since you've been sitting on this for a while, maybe you should talk about Twitter for a bit.
Okay, so guys, Twitter. I kind of talked about this in my intro, but like for serious, okay? Twitter is like all of the new Podficers, like I'm just like or older Podfickers who just like haven't gotten on Twitter yet. I'm like, guys, you need to get on Twitter because Twitter, the Twitter Podfic fandom, I feel like has sort of almost like become its own thing where it's like it provides such an instantaneous sort of support network, if that makes sense. Would you guys agree?
It's
off.
Definitely.
It's
Sure,
great.
yeah.
It can act like a chat room sometimes, and people are like,
Yeah, I
I'm
mean,
editing Podfic. I want some support. Who's going to edit with me? And you'll get like five people being like, sure, I'll open up Audacity and start editing right on the spot to, and we can compare and encourage each other. It's really
exactly.
great for instantaneous stuff like
Right.
that.
Where you can say, like, hey, I'm looking for, like, I just did this little thing. I'm looking for a beta. Like, who's got a couple of minutes to listen to my podfic, or guys, can anybody make me some cover art? I'd like some cover art for this podfic. Like any, like it's like Aphelon during last year, the podfic Twitter friending meme that I hosted during PodAware last year described her Twitter account as a public IRC channel. And that has been my favorite description of Twitter ever since then, because it really, like, that is such an apt description for me, a public IRC channel, basically, where, and especially if you follow all of the podficers, you see everybody's at replies to each other. So, like, you get really just, like, you get, like, meta scrolling past, and you get, like, you know, people do, like, podfic sprints where they're, like, where they do, like, editing sprints, like Paraka was talking about, or, like, yeah, just, like, requests for betas, or I've put out a request for people to help me edit before, like, hey, I don't have time and I'm running up on a deadline for like, a challenge. Does anybody have time to, like, edit this podfic for me? And I've gotten responses on that. Like,
it's also really great just for general information, like, does anyone know how this author feels about podfic? Does like this weird situation just happened to me, advice? And you get it right away.
Yep, it's really, really good for just like an instantaneous support network. And the other thing too is that, like, because there are podfickers on Twitter from all over the world, you can basically post something at any hour of the day or night, wherever you are, and, like, get a response, usually.
And I'm going to do a little plug of my own. If you don't want to quite jump into knowing every podficker and trying to follow everyone all at once,
yes,
there is the podfic Twitter account.
Yep.
Which I run.
Yes, she does.
And it's a retweet of, like, conversations about, like, I have RSS feed set up for people talking about podfic. If you want anything retweeted or said, if you at reply the at podfic account, it'll be retweeted. Especially if you're locked, because I don't, like, the locked accounts don't show up on my RSS feed, but you have to friend me first for me able to see locked accounts. But it's a great place to get, like, it kind of covers everything. You get people, like, podfickers talking about their insecurities. You get listeners being like, oh, I just listened to this awesome thing. Here's a rec you've got. Authors being like, oh my God, someone just asked me best day ever.
Yeah.
It's because I see any, like, I have a huge list of, like, keywords that I'm tracking. And if any of those terms come up and like, I filter, not absolutely, like, I'm not an actual bot, it's all filtered through me. So there are, like, I try and keep the negative stuff off there, although sometimes the serious conversations I'll include that aren't necessarily completely positive, but I feel are important. But that's a good way to get a casual view of what people are saying about podfic in general. And it can also be a great point of, like, if you're intimidated by, say, the friending meme that Bess is going to post.
Yep.
You can look there and see the people that get retweeted a lot are probably a good place to start of who you want to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and speaking of, so I mentioned, you know, the podfic Twitter friending meme last year. I am hosting, by the time you're listening to this, it will be up. I am hosting once again the podfic Twitter friending meme. You can check out either my LJ or Dream with, and like, basically go, if this sounds like something that's interesting to you, if you're not on Twitter yet, or, you know, and you think, hey, this sounds cool, I'd like to make an account, or maybe you are on Twitter, but you're not using it fanishly, or you are using it fanishly, but you don't have other podfickers friended, go check it out. If you want to jump in, see who's replied, there should be at least a few people on there for you.
And if you're too shy to friend people first, just put your name on there. I guarantee people will start following you.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And
if only Bess and I do it.
Yep. No, I can pretty much guarantee you that if nothing else, Paraka and I will pretty much friend everybody who puts a comment on that meme.
So, me too.
Yes. Yes. So definitely feel free to jump in. Like, I mean, you know, we've joked, like, oh, you know, whatever. We all know each other. But, like, seriously, we love new people. And speaking to that, Hannah, what has been kind of your experience just getting into Podfic fandom and Podfic fandom on Twitter just recently. Like, what's been your experience with that?
Well, I think because it is on Twitter, that's why it took me so long to discover it, because I've been in fandom since, you know, we're in the double digits here. But mostly in recent years, my fandom experience has been centered on LJ and AO3. And I only got a fandom Twitter account, earlier this summer? And it was really sad. I mostly used it to lurk and, like, stalk big name fans. Until I signed up for this podcast, actually, I had 12 followers on Twitter. And so, like, you guys right there have just, like, increased my number of followers, like, 50%. Yay!
Yeah, like, the thing I feel about Podfic fandom right now is that there's a little bit of, like, meta that kind of gets, like, cross-posted, or, like, you know, the results of like, a conversation that started on Twitter get cross-posted to, like, LJ or Dream with, like, personal journals, largely. And people post finished podfics on LJ and Dream with an AO3. But a lot of the conversation and the casual just, like, friendships and interactions are really all on Twitter, I kind of feel like.
I know there's some people that are more active on, that are also active on Tumblr, but since I'm not active on Tumblr, I don't know what the Podfic presence is there.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's also that, I mean, at least from my perspective, it feels like 90% of Podfic fandom is either Bandom or Merlin, which are two that I was never really into. So maybe that's why I missed it for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it is true that there is a really, really huge contingent of podfickers who are in Bandom. I feel like...
I think it's also just because there's so many, we suck other people in. Like, that's how... Yeah. I was like...
Yeah.
I spent over 5 years being like, I'm never going to be in Bandom. Then suddenly, it's my main fandom. And Heard the Owl keeps being like, I'm not in Bandom, but I just went and did this thing. And I'm like, yep, that sounds like me a year ago.
No,
I'm not in Bandom.
Rena Jenkins actually, like, literally, she used to, like, podfic in a ton of fandoms. And, like, basically, I'd say, like, 70% of her output right now is Bandom, and she says she 100% blames me for that because I'm the reason that she's on Twitter, and she blames Twitter for getting her into Bandom. So, like, and, like, yes. Yeah. So it's really...
That's not to say that you have to, like, Bandom to get involved with the Twitter people.
Look, I say this as one of the hugely active people in Twitter fandom, or in Podfic fandom on Twitter. I was in Bandom, actually. I was in, like early wave Bandom back in, like, 2007, 2008. And that was when I was super, like, Bandom was my main fandom. Bandom hasn't been my main fandom since about 2009. I have a knowledge of who everybody is, but I don't actually consume that many fanworks in Bandom anymore. But I am still, like, hugely active in Podfic fandom on Twitter, and am friends with tons of people who are in Bandom, even though I'm not, like, hugely in that fandom anymore. So it's absolutely not a requirement. And especially people will list their fandoms probably on the following meme, but the friending meme. But there are also certain people I know who, like, are, like, talk a lot about, like, various obscure fandoms. So definitely don't feel, like, intimidated if you're not, like, oh, I'm not in, like, one of the huge fandoms, you know? Because...
Yeah. I think the reason why there's just a lot of Bandom people is because, like, the actors for Bandom are on... Like, or not the actors, the singers are on Twitter. So a lot of, like... I know it was like that for American Idol, which I was in before I was in Bandom, because... The singers are on Twitter. A lot of the fandom ends up on Twitter. And then that's just because we're all here. It's spread out to other things. But if you come, other people will follow and talk to you and have fun with you. So.
Yeah. And I think in the last year, Podfic fandom on Twitter has gotten less Bandom centric because there just are a lot more people there who aren't just in Bandom.
A lot of people did the Avengers jump to.
Yeah.
Being into that fandom, and because they're like, well, half my feed is something else, let's not talk as much about fandom, let's just talk about general things.
Ooh, Avengers, that is relevant to my interests, so I will have to check this out.
Yep,
there's plenty of Avengers.
yeah.
odd thing, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And I think the Bandom thing is actually the last, like, year or so. Like, previous to that, it was kind of SGA and Due South and Supernatural fandom. Yeah,
I think Bandom has been more than a year, but
a couple years.
SGA was on the downslide for a while there, but still.
Are we talking about on Twitter or the biggest fandoms for Podfic?
No, just Podfic.
From Amplificathon, the original big three that they came out with was SGA, Due South, and Supernatural. Yeah, and then since then, Merlin.
Due South has been replaced by Merlin, yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't count Bandom as a single fandom. They count each individual band as their own fandom. So I don't know if Bandom could ever make that list. But if you counted it as its whole, it would probably definitely be on that big three list.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Bandom, if they counted it as one, could make a run for that number three spot. But this is all, I speak as somebody who has made, like, the vast majority of my podfics. I have made a podfic, at least one podfic, and I think every single one of those big fandoms. But the vast majority of my podfics are in really fandoms that have nothing to do with those huge fandoms. So, like, really, and there are tons of other podfickers who are podficking obscure fandoms and large fandoms that just don't happen to be those fandoms. So I don't think, like, you should let, like, oh, I'm not in, like, one of those huge, huge podfic fandoms, quote-unquote. Like, don't let that stop you at all.
Well, that's the beauty of podfic, right? Because it's, you can enter through any fandom at all. So no matter what you're interested in, you can do podfic. So it's very inclusive in that manner.
And I think that's a great segue into Amplificathon, if we're talking about happening spots in podfic fandom. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amplificathon, if you're in journaling communities, is really the nucleus of podfic fandom. That's where it's a multi-fanish com that's anything podfic related. So a lot of podfic announcements happen on the Amplificathon on Dreamwidth and on LiveJournal. Mm-hmm. Because it's the largest spot that the most podfickers follow.
That's where Gingerly does her archiving from. If you post to Amplificathon,
all of the archivists.
If you post to Amplificathon, it will be archived at the Audiofic Archive. They do archive from other comms, but that's like a definite way to get your podfic
that's
on
the guarantee, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like a lot of meta happens. A lot of information can get passed through there.
Yep. A lot of community announcements.
Yeah. Because they also run at least 3 or 4 challenges. They do the original Amplificathon challenge, which is designed, like, you get points for how many, for like making podfics and how long they are. But specifically, it gives points for how rare the fandom is.
Mm.
That's what it was originally designed for.
And also how rare a pairing is.
Yeah. Just, they wanted to get more diversity on the Audiofic Archive, because when it first started, it was all Due South, Stargate Atlantis, and Supernatural. So now there's a huge amount of fandoms on there, and a large part of that is because of Amplificathon. They also run Amplirecathon, which maybe, Bess, you want to talk about.
Yeah, so Amplirecathon is basically a 2-week-long fest where everybody signs up to post rec posts. And basically, like, you can have, like, a theme for your rec post, or you can just be like, hey, here's a bunch of podfics that I like. But, and it's run, and everybody signs up for a day, and there's usually about 2 to 3 posts for every single day. It's really, really, I'm somebody who, feedback is a huge problem in the podfic community. It's something that we talk about a lot, but I'll leave that for the feedback day, of PodAware. But I am somebody who's, like, oftentimes is really terrible about leaving comments for podfics that I love and adore. And so I think other people too, kind of take the chance to use things like Amplirecathon as a chance to, like, tell the podfickers whose work I love, like, how much I love it and why I love it. And so I usually do about two to three rec posts per Amplirecathon, and I know there are tons of other people who do a lot of recs, too. So it's a really great way if you're just starting out in podfic and you're like, I just kind of want to, like, look at what I think is the, you know, grab a few podfics to try. That's where kind of the fest of the year where everybody, like, posts their favorite podfics, essentially. Like, tells you what their favorites are and why.
And they also run Podbang, which I had mentioned earlier. That was the first challenge one of the challenges that got me started in podfic fandom. But basically, it's running right now, and it's to record a Big Bang length fic to turn it into a podfic. So right now the word limit was like 30K, and that happens almost every year.
And that's a gift exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now it's the exchange is happening on Valentine's, I believe.
Yep.
And it's a gift exchange as well.
Yeah.
So they run something else, don't they?
No, those are the big three.
Okay. So they run three things.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. There are a lot of other big podfic challenges too. Besides the ones that are run on the actual Amplificathon community, if you're interested in doing like a challenge for really long podfics, like Big Bang length podfics, but you are not interested in doing it as a gift exchange, there's Podfic Big Bang, which happens now. It's going to be in its third year this coming year. And that's just a challenge, basically just to sign up and podfic any fic, like, for yourself that is, like, a Big Bang length. I can't remember what the word limit on that is, but it's somewhere around, like, 20K or so.
No, it's just 10K, I think.
Is it? I think the rule is, like, the podfic has to be at least, like, an hour long.
Yeah, so
don't they have, like, two waves of it?
They're...
Am I confusing that with something else?
No.
Like...
Fandom Big Bang had two waves.
No, yeah, but it has one, like, if you're above this word count, you're guaranteed an artist, and below it, it's whether they can find you one or not. Am I confusing that with a different Big Bang?
That's not Podfic Big Bang.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. Ignore
me. I'm pretty sure it's just 10K/an hour.
Yeah, I think it's just like an hour.
I think so too, because I've never signed up for it, and part of my reasoning was like, I don't need a comm to finish a podfic that length.
Yeah.
So I think it's only an hour.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because I remember being really surprised by how low it was. Because I signed up for that and Band of Big Bang at the same time. And Band of Big Bang, you have to choose a Band of Big Bang fic from the previous, you know, like that. They did it.
Yeah.
This was the first year they did it. But, and then I was actually quite happy about the lower one for Podfic Big Bang, because just timing wise.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a bit low for that type of challenge.
Yeah. But
that's not an uncommon length for Big Bangs these days, though.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, well, they're doing that like double wave thing on a lot of them, because they do like a long wave and a short wave.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's Podfic Big Bang, and then there's also there's Pod Together, which Paraka, you want to talk about that?
Okay. So does someone else want to talk about it?
You're
Can
a
I
bot.
Talk about it?
Okay.
Yeah. How about you talk about it, Jen?
Yeah. Pod Together is like my favorite thing. It's a combo between authors and podfickers. So instead of like coming to an already written fic, you're actually joined up with an author, and they when you join, you say I want to be a podficker, or I want to be an author, or both, or you know, and you give your fandoms, and so they then join people together based on, you know, fandoms that you have in common, and then you have to create a fic from the ground up and a podfic at the same, well, not exactly at the same time, obviously, but you can have communication with your author immediately, so you kind of get to decide how much interaction you want to have during it. But the idea is that you would be able to influence the fic as it's being written, and they would also conversely be able to influence the podfic. So it's a really collaborative experience. I love it. I think it's a really cool idea.
The other thing too on that is you can also sign up with a pre-chosen like author and sign up as a team.
Yeah, you can sign up. Yeah, that's true. And I know that they've had people in the past too who maybe they were recording a pod together and writing the fic together, so there might be a blurring the lines between who's the author and who's the podficker as well. So it's a really
People that will do a lot of feedback as they go. There's been people that you've got author podfickers signing up together where they'll both write something and the other person will podfic it. It's been used really interestingly, and we've gotten some amazing products out of it. It's really cool when you see people be like, okay, let's do something that's really meant to be heard instead of be read. We've gotten filk from it. We've gotten things that like were written in script. You get things that like when you look at the actual text of it, you're like, wow, that doesn't look very pretty to read. But it sounds awesome when it's recorded.
Yeah. Can we pause for just a moment so I can restart the recording? Because we're at half an hour and it's starting to get wacky.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
If we hang up, my recording will start again. Can we hang up and call again?
Yep.
Sure. Sorry, guys. Thank you.
All right. Do you guys want me to start the call again since I'm running this call and it seems to have been okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
All right. Ready? Hanging up.
Bye.